All right, you can put up that one thing. We've been talking about several weeks, about a 418 anointing. We're going to try to finish this series up today. Well, what does that mean, a 418 anointing? We're just going to read that, but I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. And it's going to be fun. Well, let me just preface to this. This is the greatest time to live ever. It is fun. And as we go forward, it's going to get even better. And now, let me tell you my philosophy. Let me read to you Revelation 21:7. Actually, 21:9. Now, we don't talk on Revelation because nobody really knows what it means. Okay. We have concepts. I'm being sarcastic. We have concepts, but you go to any theological library or bookstore, it would fill the books written on Revelation would fill the walls of this room. So what does that mean? God hasn't released a full understanding of Revelation yet. Okay, He is. He's starting to give us big pictures. So this is our philosophy on Revelation, that publicly, I mean, privately, in our own times, you can say whatever you want, but publicly, it's this. Jesus Christ is coming back. We agree on that. And He's coming back for a pure, passionate, white, purposeful bride that walks with Him. And that's what I'm going to read. Revelation is really, in my opinion, the big picture is about the bride. Getting the bride ready to marry Jesus Christ and to walk with Him. And so that's the background of some of this 418 thing we're going to talk about. But let me read this, why I say this. Verse 9 of 21. One of the seven angels who had carried the bowls filled with the seven final disasters spoke to me. So you got all these disasters. What are they? You got all this going on. I really don't worry myself with it. If you worry yourself with it, you can worry, but you're really not going to figure it out yet. He hasn't released revelation on this thing yet because it's not clear. 10 theologians can hear the same thing, read the same thing, and they come to 10 different conclusions. Verse 10, though, is very clear. Or at the end of verse 9, come here. This is in the midst of disasters. I'm going to tie this in. Come here. I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's you. You're not the Lamb. You're the bride. Okay, you got that? Just figure out what side you're on here, okay? Verse 10. Oh, I'm not supposed to heckle you. You're on the front row. It's a one-way heckling. Verse 10, He took me away in the Spirit to an enormous high mountain and showed me holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, resplendent in the bright glory of God. Now there's when you go down a road, there's two ditches on either side. Even if it's a big major highway, you don't want to go off the road on a major highway or a little highway, but there's one on each side. In America, for the last 30-40 years, the major view of the end times is going to get darker and darker, and the light's going to get dimmer and dimmer to the point that if Jesus Christ doesn't come, we're all going to be persecuted and martyred. That's called the classic dispensationalist teaching or futurism. Those are dispensationalist futurism. You hear both. To me, that's one side of the ditch. The other side of a ditch is a theology that is growing, that there is darkness and light, but the light's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and fade out the darkness. That's called dominionism. It's got different names. We'll just stick with that one. I think that's the other side of the ditch. This is what I think, the little bit I know, and I'm not going to die on it, from Revelation, is that taking the road down the middle, darkness is getting darker. We see that in the end times. Lawlessness is going to increase. We're going to call good evil and evil good. But the light gets stronger and stronger too. I see an epic battle coming. And we're the light and we're getting stronger and stronger and it's going to be fun. So right now we're seeing darkness increase, at least in America, with all the sexual perversions, on and on and on. But at the same time, the Luke 4:18 anointing, the 4:18 anointing is Jesus Christ. This is what He did in Luke 4:18. He declared, I am on the earth. He declares His mission. And He's on the earth. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And he did that. And then he left the earth and said, all authority that has been given to me, I give to you. We're seeing, so we've seen this darkness grow, but we're also not seeing the light pushed away. We're seeing the light grow stronger and stronger. And then somewhere, who knows where, next year or 1,000 years from now, Jesus Christ is going to come and settle this battle. But he is in us now, flowing through us to show the love of God, to show the battle, to show what he is like. And we're not going to get, I mean, there's going to be battles. There'll be persecutions and martyrs. But the light's not going to be extinguished as I read the scriptures. We're going to grow. Wherever there's demonic manifestations, there's going to be Holy Spirit manifestations. Wherever there's demonic fear, there's going to be Holy Spirit love, because love casts out all fear, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be awesome. Yeah, we're going to see it, but if you keep your eyes on what he is doing now in us, that's why it's so... I listen to the news to make sure of the big stuff, but if you're not careful, you can get overwhelmed by the darkness coming through the news. And when you start getting overwhelmed and start losing hope, okay, I'm not focusing on the right things. I am here to make a difference. And so this is four P's we have that the world needs. And so we've been through a couple of these. I'll review them real quick. But this is a big deal. Well, how can I affect the world? You can affect the world through these four things. First of all, getting to know the person of Jesus Christ. And I'll just review. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So each one of these are something for you to do and in a way that it influences others. In a quick review, it all starts with the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The door is open like it has never been open for you to encounter intimacy with Jesus. Not just talk about him. Not just be saved, not just pray for him to ask you to bless him. I challenge you every day, say, Holy Spirit, introduce me to my bridegroom. Eleazar was the one that got Rebekah ready for Isaac. And on that 3-week journey back through the desert after he asked Rebekah, do you want to be the bride of Isaac, as he was bringing her back, he's telling her all about her, about him, what he likes, his personality. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Wake up every morning and go, what is Jesus like? What does he enjoy? Introduce me to him. This is what I've been praying a lot lately. I don't know if this is just me. I throw this out. I said, Holy Spirit, I pray directly to Jesus. I say, Jesus, I want to date you now. And not just wait till the marriage. I want to know you and talk to you and hear your voice and see you if right now. That's a cool prayer. I just challenge you. He has the solution to every problem. He is the person that when you come in, it changes your perspective on life. Your problems may still be there, but as he shows up and you encounter him, they just become so much less because of who you're walking with. And to others, right now, Christians are just cowards. Most of them. Not all of them. None of us here. The front row, well, I'm sorry, yeah, I didn't say that, did I? But anyway, I'm just kidding. Somebody listening to this on the tape is going to go, what is going on in this place? Christians mostly are cowards. It talks about in Revelation 21 at the end of the age. Murderers, homosexuals, there's this whole long list of liars are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. You know what heads that list? The first thing on that list is cowards. Now, I believe that once saved, always saved. That's my personal belief, if you're truly saved. So I don't think they're going to go to hell. But the principle is this. we just don't be afraid to say, listen, to your friend or your employee that's struggling and wanting answers. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. There are no other paths that lead to heaven.
Amen.
There are none. The world is trying to make every religion the same. This is the problem. None of those religions believe that. If you're a true Christian, there is only one way. If you're a true Muslim, there is only one way. They're not saying that. Hindus are not saying that. The only ones that are saying that are the ones that have no religion. And so somewhere we do it in love, like, and we do it in, but there is a truth. Jesus Christ is the only way. And until they bow their knee to Him, now there is no hope. Well, you're not going to get the supernatural strength that you need. And so we'll move on from that. But the person is a big deal. The prophetic, we've talked some about that. The second most valuable thing besides the person of Jesus Christ, in my opinion, is the prophetic. The prophetic, to me, in this case, I'm using it being able to hear the voice of God. The problem in the Scriptures, not a problem, but it can get confusing. There's a lot of prose. In Romans 12, there's the motivational gift or the Father's gifts of prophecy, which is different than the supernatural gift or the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, that I pray that you all prophesy, which is different than the gift of prophet in Ephesians 4, which is Jesus Christ's gift. So we've got a lot of pros here. So I will just put it down to the pro. The pro means you can hear God's voice. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Wake up every day. This is your action item. And as you're praying to the Holy Spirit to get to know Jesus better, say, Holy Spirit, increase my sensitivity to you. I want to be more sensitive to you. I want to hear your voice, not just when I pray, but when I'm going through work, all of a sudden there'll be a check in my spirit or something will grab me or a thought come and go, I need to pause here. Many of you have ever had that happen to you. And many times we ignore it. Stop ignoring it. Just pause. I mean, if you're driving, don't stop driving. Don't take your eyes off the road. But you can multitask there. But pause and go, are you saying something, Holy Spirit? And so I just pray. Let's just pray now. Father, I pray over myself and every person here. Let us grow in our sensitivity to you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Father. Because you speak a lot more than I hear. And let that not be so. In Jesus' name. Now, we also talked about for others. What is the others prophetic? Many times, Josh, he's teaching teen boys, gave a great example this morning. He was listening. I don't remember the guy's name. I wouldn't say it on the recording anyway. But whatever that guy's name was, he was listening for all these years. What should I say to him? How should I say it to him? And he gave one example of what he wrote and sent it as a text to that guy. I'm telling you, that's how we can influence the world, bring light into that darkness, is listening for ourselves, but also say, Holy Spirit, show me who to friend or who to say something to. And you don't have to couch it in Christian language. I've got a word from you from God. And then all of a sudden it kicks into King James Version speech. Or if you're Pentecostal, you start, oh, I got to, what for you, brother, here it comes. Are you ready? Or if you're whatever, you don't do all that. Just be yourself. If that's who you are, do it. But be the same as when you're on the rest of the job. And just share it. I don't even tell them it's a word. I just share it. Say, hey, you know, this thought crossed my mind. And share it with them. And a lot of times they'll go, that's so true. Where'd you get that? Then you could say, well, I walk with the Holy Spirit and He loves you and happened to share this with me. The world, your ability to hear from God will directly lead to your ability to hear for others. So develop it. Your ability to walk with the person of Jesus Christ allows you to introduce Him to others. Amen? All right, let's talk about principles. We're not talking about this. I got about 15 minutes here and we're going to crank through these last two P's. Are you all awake? Tell Whitney over here to wake up. She's falling asleep on me. All right. Let me tell you where we're at, in my opinion. prophetically in America. Principles. Matthew 7:24. If you want to follow along, I'll just read. To me, this perfectly describes America. Therefore, everyone who, and this is out of the NIV, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. All right, let me read this again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, I'm calling them principles. It could also include the prophetic. See, you've got words that he has said forever in the Bible. Whatever he said in the Bible, I'm calling that principles for today. Because they're already written down. Anybody can read them. Do you realize unbelievers, if they'll apply the principles of living in the Bible, their life will be blessed to the extent that they can with those principles. There are things in the Scriptures God has spoken that affect natural laws whether you're a Christian or not. In Proverbs, it talks a lot about saving money. Okay, if you are an unbeliever, put that into practice, you can get yourself into good financial stability. It talks about principles of no debt, no co-signing, et cetera, et cetera. Those things anybody can do without knowing the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the prophetic is words he's given you now that never violate his principles. I remember way before I moved here, there was this couple that came to me. Well, it wasn't a couple. It was a guy came to me. He was married. And he was all excited. And he said, I have found my wife. God has led me to my wife. And I'm like, is this guy on drugs? What's going on, man? I knew who his wife was. Or was he about to celebrate? And he goes, I found out I married the wrong person. And this other person is the person I should marry. And he asked me to bless it. And he said, pray about it. Now, I'm just in my 20s. I'm a slow learner, like these guys told me on the front row. But at this case, I picked it up pretty fast. I said, I don't have to pray about that. This is a principle in the Bible, and you know the principle. You know, there's just foolishness. Well, I heard from God. I said, no, you did not hear from God. You heard, I don't remember what I said. I was not this blunt when I was young. I was probably much nicer. But if it had been today, I'd say, what you're hearing is your hormones. You know, the chemicals going through your brain, man. And God's prophetic never overrules his principles or his words. It's just coming from two different ones. One's written down. And in the prophetic, you always got to run it by the Word of God. And I would, if it's a big deal, I would get two or three people to pray with you and judge that thing. But it is, but that does happen. And so, anyway, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. So today, for you, this is obvious. If you'll match up your life with the principles in the Bible and his prophetic voice, no matter what comes against it, it's going to shake. The winds are going to blow all around, but it's not going to fall. And people's going to notice this over time. And they go, what are you doing different than me? Because it had its foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's the point here? We become saved. We got our ticket to heaven. We're going to heaven. We start hearing God's voice. That's not enough to keep your house from falling down. This is where we got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. What does God say about parenting? What does God say about marriage? And most of that's already written out. There's tons of books on this and articles and blogs and everything else. What does he say? My life is falling apart. But are you lining your life up with what he's already said in the past, the principles, and what he's turning? Well, I just need to be blessed. Well, what does that mean? If we think everything's going to be lined up, see, he doesn't just do everything for us. Why? Because he thinks too highly of you. My youngest is 18. We did his graduation party last night. My oldest is 25. Somewhere along the way, if your kids are going to be successful, you've got to stop doing everything for them and teach them how to do it for themselves rightly. Little Ruthie, what I saw this morning, she can't do nothing except smile pretty. She does that well. Everything else, you got to do everything for her. But if you're still doing that at 25, you've not been good parents. And this kid's going to be a terror, and it's just not going to go well. And so as you study to show yourself approved and then apply it to your life, the Holy Spirit starts putting in order how to live. And you go, well, what am I supposed to work on first? What is he telling you? I'm telling you, he's telling you something. When you wake up in the morning or at night or whenever your time is, he's telling you something. I want you to change this. I want to put this in. But usually I don't want that thing. So I ignore that thing. Let's move on to do something else. I don't want to clean my room. Let's do something else. I'll wash the car. I'll mow the grass, but I'm not cleaning my room. You get the metaphor there. He's not literally telling you to clean your room. If you are, then it's probably really messy. And so, but go after the Lord and do that one thing, because you know what? He never forgets. Your entire life, he is trying to put it in order. He's trying to put you on a rock that is solid, and he knows what to work on first. And if, as you faithfully do this, you're going to start, like let's say you're working on parenting, okay, and you've got some success. He's going to lead you to somebody around you that their kids, nobody wants to invite over to their house. If they do, you put them in the backyard because things are broken, things are messed up. Y'all look at me like you don't know any kids like that. Y'all know some kids like that? All right. I guess it's just a good group. Y'all are applying the Word of God here. But he's going to lead you along to somebody, and they're going to get frustrated with their kids because most of the parenting advice today is just nonsense. I mean, I heard several weeks ago that some state, I don't remember, I sort of half listened to this and go, this is insanity. They're not putting the gender on the kid until the kid gets old enough to decide. And I'm like, well, okay, enough said. We don't even have to go there. It's just insanity. And so you take these things and you go along in life, and eventually their life's going to be a mess. It's going to be falling apart. Your house may be shaking, but it's standing. Theirs is not. They may be going through a divorce, or the kids are just nutsos. And they're going to come to you and go, how you do it? And you go, it's not easy. There is no simple solution. It starts with getting saved, but that's just a start. And you say, this is what I've learned. These are the principles I've learned. But it's taken work. Now the good thing is I don't have to do it on my own. If you're a Christian, I've got the Holy Spirit to help me through it. I cannot tell you how valuable you are to this community by just walking through that. Now they have to decide if they're going to do it. But you've pointed the way. And it's so cool. See, right now in our society, some of the things we're battling is we live, for those of you that are into this, a postmodern society. From roughly middle 1700s to around late 1900s, we were a modern society. That was based off the Enlightenment principles. That was based off, if you studied hard enough and you researched enough, you could find the core of things and find the truth. There was a truth. It was repeatable. It was observable. How many of you learned that in science? Scientific experiment. Repeatable, observable, is truth. That is not being taught anymore. Or very rarely. There is no absolutes. There is no truth. It's however you define it. It's fluid, like the gender thing we were just talking about. But this is the problem with it. That, whatever you believe, produces a result. Are y'all awake? If you follow Christianity, it produces a result. If you follow Islam, it produces a result. If you follow atheism and its principles, it produces a result. If you follow the principles of no absolutes, no consequences, what you're saying is there are no principles that always work. Now, this is why our country the suicide rates are going through the roof, especially among those 30 and under. You know why? I don't want to oversimplify because every case has its individual characteristics. But by and large, most of them, it's because they have no purpose in life. They have no direction in life. They have no value in life. Because postmodern or humanistic thought cannot answer, where did you come from? Why are you here? Who am I? Those are the great questions of Christianity. And Christianity with its principles is the best. Why are you here? Because you were first created in the Spirit in heaven. It says, I knew you before you were formed in the womb. You were created and He released you with specific physical DNA, specific spiritual DNA into somebody. You are not an accident and you never are. And you were not evolved from some single cell protozoa somewhere. You were created in the image of God. Now, this is not popular. You were made fun of. You said you're unscientific. You're ignorant. Well, fine. I'm going to take where my beliefs lead, and they lead to stability. They lead to meaning. They lead to purpose. I don't want you to go this way, but if you keep going this way, it's going to lead to no purpose. No. Listen, if you were just evolved, and God's not involved in your life, why wouldn't you eat, drink, and be merry and put yourself in a stupor and end up dying in your mid-30s from overdose and have 4,800 kids somewhere? And none of them know who their father is and they start the cycle all over again. But if you're created in the image of God and living for Him, you go, I live for something bigger. And I'm a part of something bigger. I'm in partnership with something bigger. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So that sand, we're seeing houses falling all around us, especially in this community. The drug addiction and the alcohol addiction is just, it's unbelievable how much it is. But if I didn't know Jesus Christ and have a purpose and my body, soul, and spirit has a reason to live, why wouldn't I do drugs? It's not fun otherwise. You got me? 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, talking about the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Jesus, who is the image of God. We'll probably end there. I'll pick up point four next week. Why? Because we got Sunday next week. There's 52 Sundays, minus July the 4th. So how do the unbelievers, if the God of this age has blinded them, how do they see? It's two ways that I know of. The first way is if Jesus Christ just comes in with a divine encounter. And that happens a lot. I've heard many testimonies. People's in bed and all of a sudden Jesus walked in the room. And then your little mind going, there is no absolutes, there is no truth. I can do whatever, sort of goes out the window. Because here's a supernatural being walks in and goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life, or whatever he says. I don't care what you think after that. You know it's malarkey. Because you just experienced something. That's why we so many times pray for encounters. That's why so many times here on Sunday morning we just have quiet times. We didn't have a quiet time so much this morning. Jason got, the breaker got let loose, and it was great. I loved it. He needed to break some things off of us. So we have two modes in worship. One is breaking off strongholds, and then once they're broken, go into the throne room of heaven. And we need both. The Warhammer. That might be better than Breaker. Warhammer. I like that. That's your new nickname. And so, it's an evolving thing. I do believe in evolution on nicknames. And so, because I don't see perfectly yet, but one day maybe I will. I like being y'all be on the front row, man. It's pretty good. Huh? I know, yeah. I reviewed two and got to the third, so, you know, I'm too I'm just so ambitious. I need to say, I shouldn't have said at the beginning we're going to try to get through this. I should have just said, we're going to talk till I stop. How about that? But one way is divine encounters. We need to pray that all the time, especially the hard-headed ones that everybody's talked to. They're your relatives. They come in and they're just trying to get you to believe what they believe about some subject, and everybody's like, run, run, run. You know, any of you have those in your family? You got one of those. And it's like, please, don't let them come to the Thanksgiving dinner this year. And so it's sad. God loves them, and somebody needs to pray for them. You can get Josh to pray for them. Josh has already got a track record. But we need a divine encounter, some encounter where God just comes in, and it just is over. The second is you, because you walk with the divine. The divine, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. There's going to be times where he's going to go, I need you to share this with them. Some of the most powerful things I've seen people's lives changed around is I give them like 3 or 4 words, literal word, not long words, a half a sentence. I've told this story before, but it's been a little while, but it's a great story. I'll tell it again. This happened many years ago. A lady came in, a young lady by herself. She sat down. I was over here, and the Lord kept going, you need to give her a word. I said, great, I love giving words. He said, go tell her Jesus loves me. And I'm like, everybody knows that. That sounds like a Hallmark greeting card. I want more. So that's my pride. That's my arrogance. That's me judging the word. You know, of course everybody knows that. She's at church. Okay, I'm a slow learner, like you've already said on the front row. I'm trying to get better. And we went through the whole service. Even at the end, he kept going, go tell her Jesus loves me. And he's starting to get a little, I was like, okay. I hate to say this, but sometimes you do stuff just to get the Holy Spirit off your back. Have you ever done that? I try not to do that anymore. I try to be sensitive and do it fast. So at the end of the service, huh? Cleaning my room, that's right. So at the end of the service, privately, I just, before she left, I not met her, I said, the Lord just keeps telling me that Jesus loves you. And she starts bawling and breaking down and crying. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm the man of power and hour. I can deliver the goods, man. Yeah, where's the Red Sea? That's a good one, John. There you go. And then she, after we walked through this different stuff, then she goes, I pulled up into the parking lot today. I just saw this church. I mean, I don't know how she even found it. I saw this church. And I pulled up in the parking lot and said, I am going to end my life today unless I hear that you love me, Jesus. Let's stand. That's intense. So you never know. And that was just a word. And you can get those things for work. And you go, this is so simple. You don't know the influence or the context or where it's going. So divine encounters in people of God is how this world's going to change. That's how their lives are going to change. So don't underestimate. We change every one of them is one life at a time. And so, Father, I thank you for everybody that's here. I thank you for this RC family. And, Lord, I just bless them. I pray that you just this week, they hear your voice more than they have ever heard it. They're more sensitive to you than they've ever been. And, Father, where you see fit, we say yes to delivering these 4 P's of person in the prophetic or what we're hearing and principles and to the people around us. Because all we're doing is sharing what we already are. It's not something we put on, it's who we are. And Father, let us influence this world so that the God of this age does not blind everybody. So that as the light gets lighter, more people are pulled in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you guys.